All right, we want to welcome everybody that's watching online today to Waldo Baptist Church to our morning Bible study. It's good to be in the Lord's house with you today. Everett and Elsie, I hear, are going to be celebrating their 74th wedding anniversary. And that is something to celebrate. I mean, Kay and I have been married 61 years, and I thought that was a long time, but we're not even close, Elsie. Yeah. God bless. Yes. Three wonderful sons. Well, the three wonderful sons have got two wonderful parents. I know that. Yeah. It's good to see y'all. God bless you. God bless you. All right, we're going to be in the book of 1 Timothy today as we continue our study there. We had a birthday party here at the church yesterday, celebrated my sister's 90th birthday. Huh? I didn't? Well, you go around, if you wouldn't go around telling everybody you're younger than I am, I wouldn't do that. God bless you. It's good to be in the Lord's house with you today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Father, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus, a risen Savior and a soon coming King. We thank you for the opportunity to worship him, to bow our heads, to verify that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings and Lord of all. We worship you because of who you are, and because of the mighty things that you have done, and because of the mighty things that you have promised to do. You, Father, are an almighty God from everlasting to everlasting. You never change. We are so grateful for that. We pray that you'd lead us and guide us as we look at the Word of God this morning, that we might have even greater worship in our hearts and lives because of who you are. That we might look us around us at our brothers and sisters, and we might realize what a blessing it is to know the Lord. And we might have the clear understanding that except for your grace and mercy, we would not know the Lord. So guide us and lead us as we work through this great scripture together. Help us to realize the astounding, miraculous salvation that you have given us in Christ. That you might motivate us by your grace to become that person that you saved us to be. That by living out our lives and telling the story of Jesus, you might be glorified. And that you might bring many others into the kingdom of Christ. That we might live out through the ages of the ages of the ages, knowing each other in Christ, celebrating there is victory in Jesus, and knowing that eternity will never end, that we have been saved by his marvelous grace, and we have not only been saved, but we've been given love and life through the grace and the mercies of an almighty God. So bless your word, bless your teacher, and bless your audience as we get into the Word of God this morning. And may you be honored and glorified above all things. For we ask it in the name that is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and through his shed blood we pray. Amen. Amen. As we look at 1 Timothy, and we look at Timothy, who is has been taught by the Apostle Paul and is considered by him to be a son in the ministry. We're looking in verse 15. Actually, I think we will begin in verse 12. this morning of chapter 1. And to give you an overview of what we're looking at here, we're looking more or less at Paul's personal testimony. And he's sharing it with Timothy. As Timothy goes on preaching and teaching in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul is bringing out the most important things in his life and sharing them with Timothy. It would be like myself and Trad York. As Trad York came into the ministry during my ministry, and as he grew as a pastor and a preacher and a teacher of the Word of God, I would from time to time share with him what seemed most important in my life and what he should stress in his life as the greatest matter of importance. And different things that we would share together. Well, that's what Paul's doing with Timothy. He's sharing with him what is of greatest importance in his life and what Timothy should share as greatest importance in his life. And he's wanting him to carry on that ministry. And that's what this is all about. It is, I had a wonderful Bible teacher at Mid-Continent, and his name was Brother Carey. And he had, if you ask Brother Carey, who wrote many books and was a wonderful teacher, if you asked him, what has God called you to do, Brother Carey? This is what he would tell you. I teach others to teach others to teach others to teach others. I teach others to teach others to teach others to teach others. That's what God has called me to do. And so that's what God's called Paul to do. Now that's what God's called Timothy to do. That's what God called Nate to do. Jack, Trad. Us to teach others, to teach others, to teach others. So it's not just us, it's you. As you live out your life and you see what is of greatest importance in your life, that you do the same thing. Well, let's look at the scripture now, beginning in the 12th verse of the first chapter of 1 Timothy. He says, I thank, and he, as we taught about this phrase last Sunday, this is the way he likes to share. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance, and he puts the emphasis on that. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. So Paul says to Timothy, this is of utmost importance. This is the main thing. This is the center of our message. As I went through Bible college, they said it over and over and over again. The Bible is Christocentric. The central theme of everything in Scripture from Genesis to Revelation is Christ. It points to Him. He is the center of everything. Paul is saying, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example of those who would believe. Believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them, you may fight the good fight. So what can we hear here? We hear Paul talking about his own salvation. We hear Paul talking about his own life and how God has changed his life. And he calls himself, probably rightfully so, the worst of sinners, knowing what his life was like before the Damascus Road, before he was saved. And using himself as an example, he calls himself the worst of sinners. And as he pours this out into Timothy, he's expecting Timothy to carry this same theme along as he shares with him. I was reading and studying about this and reading different instances. And let me just share some of these with you very, very quickly. When it says Christ came into this world to save sinners, there was a man called Afra Connor, and he was a vicious savage, and he lived in a place called Hottentot in South Africa. And that place was called Namaqualand. And Afra Connor was someone that everybody in that land feared, because he led a band of vicious killers in that land. Robert Moffat said that God called him to the Hottentots, the name of the place where this man lived, and everybody warned him not to go there. They said, Afra Connor will use your skull for a drinking cup. But feeling the call of God and knowing the power of the gospel, he went to the Hottentots. How'd you like to be from there? Everybody says, where are you from? Well, I'm from the Hottentots. Everybody'd think you made that up, wouldn't you? What in the world is that? He went to the Hottentots, and as God would have it, the very first person he met who gave his life to Jesus Christ was Afra Connor. By saving grace, he became an effective and useful tool in advancement of the kingdom of God. Now, why am I sharing that? I'm sharing that because that's what Paul was. He was the most feared man in the land. He was a man that everyone shunned away from if you were a Christian. If you were a Christian, he would come into your house, have you drug out by your feet, and have you either imprisoned or killed. This was Paul's mission before the Sanhedrin. Why are we talking about this? And why did Paul, why is he talking about this to Timothy? Why is he doing it? Why is he saying of himself, I was the worst sinner? Because he was. Because he was. Well, why was it important for Timothy to know that? And why is it important for me to know that? And why is it so important for you to know that? And the other example that I used here. Because no matter who it is, no matter how bad they are, no matter what they've done, Almighty God can save their soul through Jesus Christ and completely change their life. That's the message. Christ came into this world. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of which Paul said, I am the worst. And so why do I say that? And why do I want to emphasize that this morning? Because you and I know people just like that. We know people that if we said we were going to go see them and witness to them, other people would say to us, oh, you don't want to go there. You don't know who they are. You don't know what they've done. You don't know who they are. And that may be exactly the right person for you to go to, because God has chosen you to show His power and His marvelous grace and mercy to transform that person's life and show the whole world who God really is. That is why it is so important that we don't not pray for someone because we feel like they're too far gone, or we feel like they cannot be changed. Don't you think that the people in Hottentot thought that this man was too far gone? Don't you think that the Christians that lived in the area thought that the Apostle Paul, before he was saved, was way too far gone, and we surely don't need to witness to him, we need to run from him? And so what we see that he's sharing here is the necessity that we understand not only is the message of the gospel a soul-saving message, but it is a life-changing message. That God can change anyone's life, no matter who they are, by His grace and by His mercy. And that's what Paul is saying to Timothy here. He's saying, Timothy, don't give up on anybody, because my God saved me, the worst possible person, the worst sinner possible. He can save anyone. And this is what he's stressing here. Anybody remember a baseball player named Ty Cobb? He was one of the greatest baseball players that ever lived. He was saved late in life. Late in life. When I think of him, I think of that man named Barker Sissel that lived there in Brookport that was my age, 80 years old, when he was led to Christ. And Joe Ed Clankey and I had the privilege of going to his home and leading that man to Christ. And I never saw a more fired up person on the face of the earth for Jesus Christ than that 80-year-old man. So what am I saying? Ty Cobb said, I came to know Jesus Christ in the bottom of the ninth inning when I wished I had met him and give my life to him before the game ever started. We have testimony after testimony, and you know people as well who God has changed their life, and how important it is that we understand this. There was blind Bartimaeus and his friends who were brought to salvation and healed by the grace of God. If somebody had asked Jesus walking down that old dirt road with blind Bartimaeus standing on the side of it, will that old man ever see? They would have probably said, no. If Jesus had asked him, he'd said, no, that man will never see. Jesus spits in the ground, reaches down, puts it on the eyes of blind Bartimaeus, he can see. There's a lot of people that are blind to the gospel that will see the light by the grace and mercy of God if we just carry it to them, if we just share it with them. And this is a message that he's sharing here over and over as you go through 1 Timothy, because it is so important. Okay. Now then, I've got some things I want to say about this, but I got to get to my notes or I'll miss something. Okay? All right, now there are six elements that Paul is going to share with Timothy concerning God's grace. Six elements concerning God's grace that he is going to share here in 1 Timothy. First is the source of grace. If you're taking notes, just write down number one, source of grace. The second is the need for grace. The need for grace. That's the second element. Third is the power of grace. That's the third element. The power of grace. Fourth is the extent of grace. The extent of grace is the fourth element. Fifth is the purpose of grace. That's the fifth element, the purpose of grace. And finally, the sixth is the response of grace. The response of grace. And let me say this to you. When you get all this lined up in your own life, and you realize what God has really done in your life, you're going to get excited. I mean, we go to ball games and we hoot and holler and act like a fool and we get excited. And sometimes, well, I know when my wife was able and I would take her to ball games, she just watched the people make fools out of themselves. It was more interesting than the ball game was. People will shout and yell and holler and jump and hoot. Why don't Christians do that? You know, I told Nate one day, and I don't know how he took it, but this is what I told him. I said, you know, Nate, you know what I despise more than anything else, probably? He said, what's that? I said, church as usual. Where everybody just goes in, sits down, stands up, sang a song, sang another song, preacher preaches a message, sang another song, dismiss and go home. I said, I hate that. And you should too. You say, well, what are you talking about? That's what church is. No, it isn't. Listen, beloved. When God's people get penetrated by the reality of the Holy Spirit and they realize in their hearts and their mind and their very soul the extent to which God has saved them and changed their life, and made them a new creation in Christ, they will be excited about that more than their next breath, more than their next heartbeat, more than anything else in life. And you get a bunch of Christian people excited about God, excited about what God has done in their life, excited about what God can do in somebody else's life, and you get them excited about it, and you get them believing God's going to do the same thing as somebody else, let me tell you something, bless God, you can't stop God from working in what He's going to do. Are you with me? You know what I'm saying to you? Do you understand that? It means you don't just sit there like this. I used to look out at people, and I wanted to walk back and slap them in the face. Are you kidding me? You sit there like that. Almighty God gave His only begotten Son on a cross. They beat Him half to death, pulled out His beard, spit in His face, laughed at Him, mocked Him, hanging on a cross between heaven and hell. And He hung there till He died, stuck a spear in His side, watched blood and water pour out of His heart, buried Him in a tomb, rose from the dead on the third day to save your miserable, no good, ugly soul, and made you a new creation in Christ, and you sit there like a knot on a log. Somebody needs to slap you in the face. You're supposed to say amen. Uh-huh. What is wrong with us? We have become like the frog in the skillet, that you just barely turn up the heat a little bit at a time until it cooks his cussed brain and he don't even know what's happened. I don't want to see church as usual. I want to see what God can do. I've seen what men can do. I want to see what God can do. I come to church to see what God can do. I come to church to see the Holy Spirit come down and move in people's hearts and lives till they cry because they've been saved by the grace of God. To realize they were the worst sinner on earth to quit lying to themselves about how good they are. They're not a good person in this room. Paul called himself the chief of sinners. He knew who he was. If you look back in your life, let's just take some of the thoughts you've had and blow them up here on the screen. Let everybody watch them. Some of the things you said, blow them up there on the screen. Let everybody hear them. And you think you're somebody. Except for the grace of God, you're absolutely nothing but dirt on this planet. And I am the worst. And that's what Paul was saying. That's what he's telling Timothy. I'm telling you, Timothy, I murdered Christians. I drug them out of their homes. I put them in prison. I'm telling you that I was the devil's emissary. And I'm telling you that when I saw Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road, he changed my life. He saved my soul and he changed my life. And that's what all this is about. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of which I am the worst. And that's what he's saying. And that's a message he wants Timothy to carry over and over and over and over again. And that's why we should worship. And that's why we should praise God. Because we have got so accustomed to being saved that we forgot what we got saved from. I ain't gonna slap you. Who's your favorite ball team? Huh? Who's your favorite ball team?
I don't watch ball games.
That's a pitiful excuse for somebody to get passionate about something. What you passionate about?
I like gardening.
You like gardening? I picked on the wrong person. Bless your heart. You like fishing?
Yeah, well, I don't fish.
You like fishing when you catch them.
Yeah.
You like fishing when you catch them. I know a lot of people like that. I want to slap them too. My wife says, why didn't you come home? I just wait. I knew they was going to start biting any time. Right, Jim?
You never know.
That's right. You never know. You never know. You never know when the next person I talk to is going to say, I want to be saved. I want to know who Jesus Christ is. When the next person is going to say, you know, I'm just sick and tired of my life the way it is. My life needs change. I can't understand why my marriage is in the pits and why my wife doesn't love me and why my children are afraid of me. My life needs change. Yeah, that's the world we lived in, people. And there's only one solution to the pollution, and his name is Jesus. Because Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. I'm passionate about what I believe in because I know what it costs Jesus Christ. I know what it cost the Father to save my wretched soul. I know who I was before I was saved, and that's exactly what Paul is saying here. I know exactly who I was before I got saved, and so he says, can you imagine the grace of God it took to save my wretched soul? Can you imagine the mercies of God it took to save my wretched soul? Why would Almighty God that spoke this universe into being save somebody like me? I cannot understand that. And you should not be able to understand that either. I am taught much this morning. I'm trying to not to preach, but I can't hardly keep from it when people just sit there like a knot on a log. Frog in a skillet. I come to church because I want to hear a word from God. Because He changed my entire life and flipped it upside down and made me a new creation in Christ. And that's what Paul is saying here. And what's those six elements I just gave you? And I'm going to give them to you again, then we're going to study them tonight. Okay, number one, what was it? I can't see again, got my glasses on. The source of grace. It's sure in you, sure in me, not the preacher. Source of grace. The need for grace. Go look in the mirror. Go look in the mirror. The need for grace. Even if you're saved. Debbie? Even if you're saved, I go look in the mirror and I look at myself and I say, man, I need God's grace to get through today. I need God's grace to get through today. I need God's mercy to get through today. I look at my wife and I would heal her if I could. And I see her hurt. And I tell her, we need God's grace to get through today. We didn't just get saved by grace. We need God's grace today. We need God's grace tomorrow. We need God's grace till we get to heaven. And it's there. It's sufficient. And you get it every day and you just take it. And you don't even act like it means anything. And He just keeps giving it to you, giving it to you. For every need in your life, He gives you grace and mercy. And what did He put with it? Faith and love. He not only gave you grace and mercy, He gave you faith and love. I look at you and I love you. I love you with all my heart. And I believe in my Christ with all my heart. And I did not have that before He gave me grace and mercy. He gave me grace and mercy. He gave me faith and He gave me love. And He gives it to me every single day. And that's why I worship Him. And that's why I come to church. And that's why I make people uncomfortable. And that's why I yell and holler. And that's why I do what I do. Because I am passionate about my Savior and what He's done in my life. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we come before You in the name of Jesus, thanking You for so great a salvation. Oh my goodness. I cannot imagine the Apostle Paul, the work You did in his life. My goodness. Boy, You showed the whole world the power of grace, the transforming power of grace when You changed his life. But all I have to do, Father, is look in the mirror and I see the transforming power of grace that changed my life. And I understand how empty, futile, helpless, and sad I was before I knew You. So I give You praise and glory and honor because You are everlastingly an almighty God. You are the Alpha and Omega from beginning to end. Grace, mercy, faith, and love. You have poured out on us day after day after day after day because You are the almighty God of grace and mercy. Bless Brother Nate as he preaches in the service to follow. And may the Word of God fall on hearing ears and receptive hearts. For we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus. And through His shed blood we pray.